Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. You are listening to Encouragementology, and we are talking about centering yourself to find balance. In this crazy time, when we're determining what is essential and what isn't, it dawned on me, hey, you are essential. And now more than ever, you need to know that, embrace that concept, and find a healthy balance of taking care of everything, everyone, and yourself. Sound impossible? Right? I get it. Even though it would seem like things have slowed down and there's less to do, emotions are high and the stress and anxiety cocktails are flowing. How can you compartmentalize the tasks while separating the feelings so that you can handle it all with grace and balance? Yeah, I don't know either, but I'm going to help you figure it out. As always, I'll break up the discovery with some meaningful musical breaks. Feel free to take a comfort break, get a snack, do a dance, quickly text a friend to remind them that there is some good stuff on WDBX right now, or whatever. I won't control your breaks, I promise. Did you forget about you? It's okay to be honest and admit it. It's easy to do. When we're faced with challenges beyond measure, it's natural to move swiftly into problem-solving mode. Well, of course, there is the mini meltdown and woe is me party of one, but then it's problem-solving. What can I do to get through the day with the least amount of damage and lasting scars? But when the challenge is widespread and everyone in your immediate circle is feeling the pressure, it's natural to try and take on the world and lose yourself in the process. Not only is it about logistics, food, laundry, income, homework, toilet paper, it's about emotions. Feeling down, frustrated, overwhelmed, scared, depressed, angry. When you try and manage these feelings for everyone you're concerned for, your resources will become depleted, with nothing to nurture yourself. But you're the rock, right? The only one who plans, organizes, knows what's going on inside and outside of the home. The only one who can find anything or fix anything. At least that's what you've told yourself and conditioned those in your household to believe. How could they possibly manage without you? Well, we'll get to that. What kind of pressure have you put on yourself, and how could you find time to take care of your own fears and feelings? I think the first thing we need to do is to re-engineer the way you see your role. You can gain some much-needed freedom just by getting a different vantage point. That's really all it is. Back up and look at the bigger picture. I say it all the time, but when you are too tactical, you can't be strategic. Since I'm a visual learner, let's paint a picture that might help illustrate this better. Imagine digging a ditch. You're in there, head down, just digging away. At some point, if you don't step out and set your sights on the horizon, where do you think you would be? Imagine the line your ditch would take. Another one I like to use is chopping your way through a jungle, unable to see what's in front of you. You just keep pushing forward, hacking away. If you could get an aerial view, i.e. the bigger picture, you might be able to save yourself a lot of time. That's what we're trying to do here. Save us a little time and a little heartache. As with any good process, your goal is to make it more efficient, impactful, and successful. Couldn't you do the same thing with life? Now, granted, you can't prepare and plan for everything. Look where we are right now, for instance. Sometimes we learn very valuable lessons through trials and tribulations. Others come from enlightenment and revelation, and sometimes it's a golden nugget of wisdom or experience that you receive at the most perfect time. Are you overly empathetic or sympathetic? The difference between the most commonly used meanings of these two terms is: sympathy is feeling compassion, sorrow, or pity for the hardships that another person encounters. Empathy is putting yourself in the shoes of another. Melissa Renzi writes about the dangers of absorbing other people's emotions and how to set clear boundaries in an article for Psych Central. We need more kind, compassionate souls if we want to heal the world. Sensitive people have a natural capacity to show kindness because of their profound empathy. Deep empathy gives us a special strength in relating and connecting with others. It's really what makes us human. When we genuinely care, we're more apt to be able to understand another person in a way not all people can. Our sincerity can help us to develop meaningful, fulfilling relationships. Relationships offer us a chance to not only grow a deep sense of connection with another human being, but also an opportunity to learn about ourselves. Both of these are integral to the human experience. Yet regulating your empathy is key to stopping the flood of emotion from overwhelming your ability to cope and care for your own well-being. If you want to stop absorbing emotional baggage from others, it all starts with taking care of your physical, social, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. When your own immune system or energy are depleted, you become a different sponge for sopping up emotions. You must take care of yourself to avoid absorption in the first place. When you notice heavy emotion, start by labeling what you're feeling. Labeling helps to bring you into a state of pause, which can help you to gain a little distance from the emotional experience for a moment. Ask yourself whether what you're feeling is yours, someone else's, or a mix of the two. It can be difficult to understand the difference sometimes. One approach is, if you think you might be feeling a particular person's stuff, imagine the person as completely whole, content, and full of light. Then revisit your own experience and see if you still feel the same way. The moment you catch yourself feeling emotions that aren't yours, raise your awareness of what's happening within you. It can help to say the word compassion to yourself as a way of intentionally focusing on what you can do to be supportive rather than allowing yourself to be overpowered by those emotions. Take a deep breath and notice where your body is, how you feel, the most calm, grounded, or neutral. It might be as simple as your toe or finger. Bring your attention to that place in your body and allow it to be a centering force to keep you grounded while you process and release any feelings that you may have absorbed. Sometimes just having one calm place in your body can serve as a resource when the rest of you is feeling overwhelmed. Bring yourself back to the present. You know your mind can race with what ifs. Return the other person's emotions to them. It's not your responsibility to carry other people's emotional distress, and equally important, it helps absolutely no one. Try saying to yourself, "I'm letting this emotional pain that is not mine go." Remember, the other people have to go through their own process in order to grow. Use visualization to fully release the emotions. Visualize a waterfall flowing through your body, washing it all away as a final release of any residual emotional gunk you might be carrying. At the center of all the steps is building the awareness to know when you're allowing yourself to absorb and adopting tools to reduce this propensity. Your empathy is a gift that the world needs. It's up to each of us to channel our empathy into greater compassion so that we can remain strong and well. I used to think I was overly empathetic and would give the example that I could never work at a prison because I would feel so bad for them. Now, not bad enough to slip a file into a cake or anything, but just sad that they were being prevented from all the wonderful riches of life. I was worried I would take that home with me and affect my own emotional health. I genuinely care about people, much deeper than the rhetorical all-American greeting, "How are you?" I really do care how you are. As a life coach and a support group leader, I have the opportunity to listen and share with a large variety of people. The issues and concerns are wide and deep. But what I've learned is you can listen, understand, have compassion, even offer support, but in the end, everyone is in the middle of their own journey. We can accept help and even be guided along the way, but the mass majority is up to us to figure out. So it's important to let everyone experience their life the way it was meant to unfold. Doesn't that provide a huge sense of relief? If you could truly adopt that idea, can you see how it removes the pressure you might have been feeling? You can be there to love and support and even offer guidance, but the ultimate responsibility is not yours. You are only in charge of your life. So what's happening to cause us to feel this way? Elizabeth Schuller explains in an article titled "The Science Behind Why We Absorb Others' Emotions." Empathy, in neuroscience terms, is a function of what are called mirror neurons. Simply put, these are neurons that help us imitate others. They're found in our prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain right behind our eyes that's responsible for morality, planning, decision-making, and social behavior. For example, if someone takes a drink, does your mouth water? Do you get thirsty? That reaction is your mirror neurons firing, creating the same conditions in your brain as in the brain of the person drinking. This helps us learn as children and explains why toddlers are so good at mimicking our every move. These mirror neurons are also responsible for mimicking emotional states. That's why when we watch a movie where the lead loses someone they love, we, as the audience, might feel sadness, or why when someone is extremely happy, we feel and understand that happiness too. The mirror neurons in our brain are mimicking the feelings we're observing in others, in our own brain and body. Empathy can turn into a situation called enmeshment. This is a condition where instead of being able to understand the feelings of others' emotions, we effectively take on others' emotional burdens as if they were our own. Enmeshment is a blurring of boundaries, and when things get blurry, it can have a catastrophic consequence for both people in a relationship. The consequences of enmeshment or blurry boundaries can be depression, anxiety, stress, and other mental health concerns. We can carry our own emotions, plus those of others. It can be simply too much. The risks of carrying all of these emotions around can be a tendency to analyze and overanalyze emotions. The worst part about enmeshment is that once you start, it's hard to stop. Does this sound familiar to you? It's easy to justify these feelings with the stance that you just care, maybe too much, or that you're just trying to help. There's plenty of time to take care of myself. What's really important is everyone else's needs. I really thought I was doing it all and doing it all successfully. perfectly positioned in the ditch and working my fingers to the bone to get somewhere. No clue where, just buried my head and working harder. All the time trying to control, carry, and fix everyone around me. Don't get in my path with a problem or I will drop everything and try to fix it right then and there. Can you even imagine what my ditch must have looked like from an aerial view? Zigzag or even circles. If I could have reached the higher vantage point sooner, I could have saved myself and others so much time and heartache. Hindsight, right? Today, I'm so glad I'm there. It doesn't mean it's not still a knee-jerk reaction, but I am aware, and that's the first step to change. Do you have trouble establishing healthy emotional boundaries? Alana Bonza helps us recognize a pattern in an article she wrote for Tiny Buddha. Take a moment to answer the following questions adapted from Charles Whitfield's Boundaries and Relationships. Knowing, protecting, and enjoying the self. You can answer with never, seldom, occasionally, often, or usually. That's never, seldom, occasionally, often, or usually. I feel as if my happiness depends on other people. I would rather attend to others than attend to myself. I spend my time and energy helping others so much that I neglect my own wants and needs. I tend to take on the moods of people close to me. I am overly sensitive to criticism. I tend to get caught up in other people's problems. I feel responsible for other people's feelings. If you answered often or usually to any of those statements, this might be an indication that you have trouble establishing healthy emotional boundaries. At times, it can be incredibly hard to distinguish between your stuff and other people's stuff. It's incredibly important to establish clear emotional boundaries, and we can become so overwhelmed and so overstimulated by what's going on around us that it's sometimes hard to function. Here are some ways to begin the process of establishing a healthier emotional boundary. Number one, protect yourself from other people's stuff. You can feel when someone is violating a boundary because your body tenses up. Realize that your breathing may become very shallow and you could feel trapped, small, or helpless. The first thing to do is to remind yourself to breathe. The act of focusing on your breath can center you and expand the energy around you. In this space, you can think and act more clearly. When you feel yourself becoming too overwhelmed, try to immediately remove yourself from the situation. Sometimes all it takes is a couple of minutes to walk away and regain your balance. Other times, you have to make that decision not to spend time with people who constantly drain you of energy. Having a safe place to retreat, practicing mindfulness and meditation, or visualizing a protective shield around yourself are other methods that can help restore balance when boundaries are invaded. Just find what works best for you. Number two, learn to communicate your boundaries in a clear and consistent way. For many, this can be the most difficult part of the process. We don't like to appear confrontational. We're afraid that if we clearly set boundaries for ourselves, the people in our lives will begin to resent us. Learning to communicate boundaries effectively is necessary for healthy relationships. Here are some examples of communicating those boundaries. I'm not comfortable with that. it doesn't feel good to blank. I'm not okay with blank. I would appreciate if you wouldn't blank. Please don't blank. And one of my favorites is how to say no. I sure would like to be there for you, but I can't. I wish I could help out, but I'm not able to. If you cringed at the thought of using any of those phrases, you'll be relieved to know that communicating your boundaries doesn't always have to be with words. You can also effectively communicate through the use of nonverbal. Closing the door, taking a step back, shaking your head, or signaling with your hands can be less threatening ways of letting others know what you will and won't accept from them. Be patient with the process. Whenever you change a pattern, it's natural to feel resistance from inside as well as outside the self. As you practice, your ego may start to act up and make you feel like you're wrong in establishing boundaries. Others may also become resentful of your newfound assertiveness. They may be used to a certain dynamic in your relationship, and any change has the potential to cause conflict. Remember to be kind to yourself through the process and repeat the following affirmation. I respect and love myself enough to recognize when something isn't healthy for me, and I am confident enough to set clear boundaries to protect myself. Do you feel strong and in charge? If you've been practicing all that we've mentioned prior to the alternative, just know there is nothing inherently wrong with you. It's okay to care, and caring too much allows for life lessons as well. So you've done nothing wrong here. But as always, we're trying to achieve balance for an optimal life. So digging, uncovering, exposing, treating, and practicing a new behavior is healthy and can happen at any point in your journey. We are always learning and evolving, so it's never too late to let go of behaviors that no longer serve you and adopt healthier ones. You are essential, and you deserve the time and attention. Remember, this is your journey, and the way you choose to travel and what you ultimately achieve is up to you. Ready to redirect your energy, center yourself, and find some balance? We are all struggling with channeling our energy in the right direction, so I found some tips that will expand on that from Mental Health America. If you're having trouble thinking of ways to help yourself, try one of these or a few. How about a good mood booster? Read the story of someone you admire, right? Look up, don't look down. Watch a funny YouTube video. They are everywhere. Play with an animal. You know, just being close to your pet, taking some long walks with your dog, or just rubbing their belly. Definitely therapeutic. Watch a movie you loved when you were younger. You know, when you used to laugh and didn't care who was listening. Reorganize your room. That's a great way to lift chaos and just give yourself a new perspective. Make a list of all the places you want to travel to. Sky is the limit. You know, for many travel agencies, you can put a trip on layaway. Wouldn't that be great? Address your basic needs. Eat a healthy snack. When we're sheltering in place, it's so easy just to load up on the high-carb, high-fat snacks. It's our comfort food. But don't forget your healthy snacks and drink a glass of water or more. Take a shower or a bath just in the middle of the day just to soothe yourself. Take a nap. If you've got some extra time, it might be the perfect use. Process your feelings. Draw how you're feeling. You know, sometimes we just want to say frustrated, but maybe that's not it. Maybe you're sad, or maybe you're scared. This is a great thing to do with children as well. Make a gratitude list. When it's difficult to see what you're thankful for, dig deep. Look all around you. I'm thankful for a beautiful spring and a sunny day. Punch a pillow or scream into it. Maybe you don't want to show your emotions, but sometimes we need to let them out. Let yourself cry. This would be a great chance to watch a tearjerker. Just breathe and journal. What a great way to get your information out, whether it's just in small bursts or a long story that you don't want to forget. Vent. Venting is not the same as asking for help. It's taking an opportunity to share your feelings out loud. We do this naturally when we talk with someone we can trust about whatever is upsetting us. You can also vent by writing a letter to a person who upset you. Maybe it's just the world at this moment. Keep that letter a couple of days and then tear it up. Or, hey, stick it in your journal. Stick to pen and paper. Using social media when you are highly emotional can be tempting, but you might say something you'll regret. No, let me say you will say something you will regret. Problem solving. Make a list of solutions to problems. It can help to brainstorm with a friend or a family member. Make a list of your strengths. There are plenty of things about you that are awesome, no matter how down you're feeling at the moment. If a person has upset you, talk with them directly. Fill in the blanks to this sentence. I feel blank when this happens because blank. Next time, could you please blank? It's important to keep your communication approachable. Now is not the time to bottle things up. You could quickly make a mountain out of a molehill. Volunteering or acts of kindness. Do something nice for someone you know. Even if you are practicing social distancing, you could write a sweet letter or a lovely card. Help a stranger, drop off some groceries, rake their yard, pick up sticks. Volunteer your time to help others. It's a great way to get out of your own head and out of your own emotions and channel them in a positive direction. Hobbies or stress relievers. Learn something new. There are tutorials for all kinds of hobbies online. I'm learning the violin from YouTube and Spanish from an app on my phone. Create or try a craft, color, paint, or draw. Invite a friend to join you to add into the fun. You could write maybe a story, a poem, or again, just an entry in a journal. How about get active, like dancing, running, or playing a sport, something that gets you moving? Play a video game. Boy, you could get lost in those this day and age, but sometimes it's a great diversion. Get a plant and start a garden. What a great way, even if you can't get to a nursery at this time, grab some clippings from a friend. Might be a great way to try your hand at growing. Relaxation exercises. Practice belly breathing. Put one hand on your stomach and start to inhale slowly. As you breathe in, imagine a balloon in your stomach filling up and continue to inhale until the balloon is very full. Put your other hand on your heart. Feel your heartbeat and hold your breath for 5 seconds. Now, let your breath out slowly. For 10 seconds. Feel your belly flatten like a deflating balloon. Repeat this process 4 or 5 times, and you should notice your heartbeat slow down and your muscles relax. Try progressive muscle relaxation. Clench your toes for a count of 5, then relax them for a count of 5. Then move your calves, then your thighs, then your abs, then your arms, then your neck. Play with clay. Just get your hands in there and feel how it moves under you. Go for a walk. Feel the ground under your feet and the air on your skin. Focus on your senses. Find a guided meditation app. Do yoga. You can find plenty of videos online. read a book, listen to music, a podcast, or an audiobook. Unplug. Turn off your phone, tablet, or computer, and just be. For me, scheduling relaxation and hobby time is a must. I know that sounds silly and not very relaxing, but in order for me to work it into my schedule, I have to put it on there. See, remember me putting my head down and digging the ditch? I have a tendency to do that, full speed ahead, not even thinking about what I'm doing and how I'm utilizing my time. So if I can build in some breaks, then I can take things more serious. I wanted to challenge my brain. That's why I picked up the violin and why I started Spanish. I don't just want to get into that same thing over and over every day. It's like Groundhog Day, especially during this time. So really challenge yourself to break it up. Do something that you haven't done or schedule in a few things during the week to try. You never know. Remember, you are always learning and always evolving. So just because you tried something once and you didn't really like it, doesn't mean you shouldn't give it a shot again. So here we are, reconnected with our center, feeling balanced. But we are just one alarm, Zoom meeting, homeschooling lesson, and frozen pizza away from off balance. One of the greatest skills you can acquire is learning how to access your internal compass and find your center in times of stress. So I consulted with the Chopra Center for 3 easy steps. When you temporarily lose your balance, you can reset your internal alignment. This will help you refocus the lens through which you perceive your experiences. And here's how. The 3 pillars for centering are awareness, attention, and intention. When you notice that your life is becoming chaotic and you feel as if you're losing ground, you can quickly and easily find your center again with just a few simple steps. Awareness. The first step is to become aware that you're even off balance. Awareness is one of the greatest tools for creating change. Once you become aware that you've lost your center, you have the opportunity to make a conscious choice to shift your internal state. A conscious choice maker is someone who makes choices that are designed to unfold higher levels of potential. First, you must be aware of the need to redirect your energy or focus. To begin cultivating internal awareness, start each new day or each new project by closing your eyes, taking a few deep breaths, and imagining that everything you approach is from a place of centered balance. See, hear, and feel yourself moving effortlessly through every experience with clarity, focus, and awareness. Let this vision or sensation become an anchor for how you want to consciously move through your days. Notice how you begin to feel more at peace as you do this. Then open your eyes and go about your day. The second pillar, attention in action. Where you place your attention is critical. The second step is to notice where your attention is being directed in the moment. Attention means you are mindful of what's swirling around you. When you come into present moment awareness, your attention is based in the here and now. This is when you can begin to observe yourself and your environment. Place your attention first on your breathing. Your breath is your greatest tool for getting out of your head and the chaos of the moment and back into your heart. Taking purposeful breaths can help you slow down long enough for you to check in and gauge where you're at. Next, begin to observe your thoughts and feelings. Can you shift the way you're feeling simply by putting your attention wherever you feel sensation? Are you able to look through a different lens and see options that you weren't previously aware of? All change is created in the present moment. It is from this place that you will be able to cultivate the fertile soil needed for the final step, intention. The third step is to set your intention for how you would like to be able to respond to life's challenges. An intention is future-based, and it's planted like a seed by putting your attention on it in the present moment. Your intention might be to stop or slow down long enough to make a clear decision. It may be to stay rooted in a place of acceptance. Maybe you've realized that you need to eliminate some activities and other commitments, or that you want to find time in your schedule for relaxation and reflection. Get clear on your intended outcome by asking yourself what you would like to experience. What choices would you like to make in the moment, and what possibilities are available to you? If you're a visual person like me, see yourself being calm, cool, and collected, and simply observing your situation or circumstance before pressing on. If you're a more kinesthetic person, hands-on, imagine that you're hovering just above the sensation and feel serene and unaffected by your environment. Stop and reflect how you would like to feel in this situation. This will help you compose yourself into a more harmonious state. From this place of clarity, peace, and balance, you can proceed with success. Whenever you notice that your inner calm has been compromised, take a few minutes to close your eyes and bring your awareness to how you're feeling in that moment. Then, with your attention in the here and now, choose to return to your earlier intention and come back to that place of feeling relaxed, present, and focused. With practice, this exercise will become second nature, allowing you to easily and effortlessly return to your center in no time at all. I hope you've picked up some pretty interesting ideas, and I hope you've been able to see where you are on your journey. In this stressful time, I hope you've been able to identify some behaviors that you would like to change, maybe some that you would like to embrace, and some that you would like to share. It's important to find balance. It's so easy to get pulled in one direction or the other. We talked about how easy it is to absorb other people's emotions. Did that make sense to you? Can you see where your need to help someone might be actually taking over some of the control and the ability for them to help themselves? It's important to recognize when you're crossing the line. We also talked about healthy boundaries. How could we set those up, not only set them up, but communicate them in a constructive way? Sometimes we just don't want to rock the boat, so we're going to stay in the middle of the storm. No. Communicating a healthy boundary can start with practicing what you preach. Start treating yourself the way that you wish other people would treat you. Lead the way by example. We talked a lot about empathy and where it comes from and how to embrace it and yet control it as well. Remember all the awesome ideas we came up with to redirect your energy and center yourself to find some balance? I hope you were able to pick some out that you want to try immediately. And then, just in case you get off kilter, we talked about three easy steps to recenter yourself: awareness, attention, and intention. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, realize the overwhelming feelings you are having isn't a result of having too much to do, but instead an out-of-balance sense of responsibility. Remembering your needs, both physical and mental, are essential. Begin letting go and channeling your energy into healthy boundaries that will protect and guide your journey. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw her into the past was clear.